Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo highlights the opportunity amidst the U.S.-China trade war. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked private sector to become economic engine. Chambers of Commerce and Industry conveys inputs to President. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo, when receiving a number of administrators of the Chambers of Commerce and Industry and the Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association, HIPMI, at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, highlighted the situation of trade war between the United States and China. President said, currently the condition of trade war between the two countries have grown more terrified. He explained the current condition must be explored as an opportunity for Indonesian entrepreneurs to improve the economy.
Saya melihat misalnya kayak pasar di Amerika yang sebelumnya dimasuki produk-produk dari Tiongkok.
I saw markets in America previously supplied by products from China. This can be our opportunity to increase capacity so that our products can enter the American markets. For example, textile products and garments. I think we should take full advantage of opportunities to increase our export.
Yang dulunya diisi dari produk dari sana, sekarang karena mereka baru rame ya, bisa kita isi. Saya kira peluang-peluang seperti ini yang secara detail harus kita lihat dan kita manfaatkan sebesar-besarnya untuk meningkatkan ekspor kita.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also asked for suggestions from entrepreneurs related to efforts that could be carried out by the government in improving the Indonesian economy. According to the president, this is related to the difficulties faced by entrepreneurs in developing their business both in domestic and abroad. Indonesian President Joko Widodo called on the private sector to become the main engine of the national economy because the influence of the national budget on the national economy was considered small, notably only in the range of 20-30%. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo in a special interview with Antara at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday said that Indonesian draft state budget does not significantly affect the economy, only about 20-30%. In fact, it is the private sector that has a major impact on the economy. Hence, Indonesia has to trigger the private sector to move faster. The head of state said the government continued to encourage the private sector to be interested in investing capital or money into the real sector. Chairman of Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Rosan Ruslani, said that his office conveyed several inputs related to efforts to improve the domestic economy to President Joko Widodo. After received by the President at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday, Rosan Ruslani said that the proposals included efforts to increase Indonesian manpower's capacity who are going to work abroad. Currently, it is estimated 3.6 million Indonesian workers spread in various countries in the world. From the number, the level of remittance only amounting to $11 billion. Compared to workers from the Philippines, with the number almost the same to Indonesia, the level of remittance of workers from the Philippines reached to $33 billion.
Kenapa itu bisa lebih tinggi? Karena masalahnya adalah
why are they higher than us? Because they have language skills such as nurses. So the vocational program is being encouraged and prioritized by the president and the government. We can say quick win. One of other issues which becomes attention, namely absorptions of Indonesian tourism sector. Rosan Father said with 15 million foreign tourists, the Indonesian tourism sector is only able to contribute foreign exchange worth $17 billion. Furthermore, Roslan Roslani hopes the government can pay more supports export, particularly textile. He also added textile sector currently has increased to 30%. It is hoped can be more increased, especially amid trade war condition between the United States and China. The Indonesian Consulate General in Hong Kong issued an appeal to all Indonesian citizens not to approach the location of demonstration to protest the proposed extradition bill. As quoted by Taranus Agency, Acting Consul General in Hong Kong, Mandala S. Purba, on Wednesday said that just avoid as far as possible the Admiralty and Central areas, which are the centers of mass protests. He also asked Indonesian citizens, most of whom were migrant workers, to obey all orders and directives from Hong Kong law enforcement officers and not violate rules and regulation. Indonesian citizens are also encouraged to remain calm and not participate in activities that can harm themselves, and avoid uploading various materials on social media that can create uproars and result in legal problems. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government would loosen regulation on the permit of foreign airlines to operate domestic flights in a bid to improve the aviation industry through competition. As quoted by Tempo.co, Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs Secretary Susi Wiono Mugiarso on Wednesday said that it was a measure to suppress the rising airlines tariff. On Presidential Regulation No. 44/2016 concerning list of closed and open business fields with requirements in the investment sector, foreign airlines willing to operate domestic flights in Indonesia must open regional firm with a maximum share of 49% and possess 10 aircraft for scheduled commercial operation. Foreign airlines must also abide by Transportation Ministerial Decree No. 45/2017 on aviation noting requirements for submitting routes requests and adding and changing routes. Susi Wiono explained the policy relaxations was an option to lower airline tariff because the operation of foreign airlines in the country would encourage competition in the national aviation industry that was dominated by two major groups, Garuda Indonesia and Lion Air. Several Dutch investors are to visit West Sumatra in August 2019 to obtain first-hand information about the province's renewable energy potentials. As quoted by Taranus Agency, Chief of the West Sumatra's Investment and Integrated One-Stop Service Office, Mas Wardedin Padang, on Wednesday said that the Dutch investor planned to come and observe the existing potentials in August. The renewable energy potentials that attract Dutch investors include energy from waste treatment units at several landfills in the province. He also said the Dutch expressed interest in investing in renewable energy projects when the West Sumatra delegation took part in the Tong Tong Festival held in the Netherlands in May this year. He further said the waste treatment project to produce renewable energy also benefit the province since the waste will be managed properly. In fact, the waste management can create jobs. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati expects that the leaders of ministries and non-ministerial government institutions will not only pursue unqualified opinions or WTP, but will work hard in managing the budget so that the quality of financial statements can improve annually. As quoted by Taranus Agency, Minister Sri Mulyani in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the leadership of ministries and non-ministerial government institutions is not only satisfied in seeking WTP opinions, but also expects to see hard work in budget management and good governance practices in accordance with the Act. So it is not only pursuing compliance, but also better performance. The minister also said the WTP opinion about the 2018 Central Government Financial Report was a superior achievement and must be continued, especially since the recognition has been obtained for three consecutive years. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's the commentary today, which is titled, Will Indonesia Become a Country with Fifth Highest GDP by 2030? Listener, the ranking of Indonesia as country with the highest economic growth keeps climbing since the 2000s, and currently it ranks 13th. In 2015, Indonesia was the 7th, and study by International Monetary Fund or IMF showed that Indonesia will be the world's 6th biggest economy by 2023, 5th in 2030, and 4th in 2050. If it successfully climbs into the 6th ranking by 2023, Indonesia will be ahead of Russia, Brazil, England, and France. Indonesia will also be the only Southeast Asian country to be in the world's top 10 GDP. However, Will the prediction from IMF study become real? Many observers are optimistic that the prediction will come true. Main expert at Economic Deputy 3 of Presidential Staff Office, Tree Yanwarti, shared similar optimism. According to Tree, the improving people's consumption was one basis for the growth. It is because consumption contributes more than 50% of the Indonesian GDP growth. Besides that, the improving ease of doing business and investment is also a supporting factor. How to get into the fifth or even the fourth position? One prerequisite Indonesia must fulfill is human resource quality. To increase its quality, education is one of the key factors. Therefore, Indonesian government must pay more attention to the quality of primary school graduates. Success in following education at high school and higher education is much influenced by quality during primary school. The number of children joining primary school is also increasing, but still far from fulfilling the primary school graduates' competence. According to a study by Indonesian National Assessment Program towards primary school students' competence, it was found that mastery of mathematics, science, and even reading is still below standard. So, based on the study result, Indonesian government must improve the quality of the primary school graduates. For that, teachers' quality is the main key. If Indonesia seriously wants their GDP to rank 5th by 2030 and 4th by 2050, the only obvious choice to be taken by the government is to prepare competent teachers to produce competent Indonesian human resources. And listener, that's the commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. Well, our regular program in history starts from an event on June 13, 1921. For the first time, Palestinian citizens carry out armed resistance against the colonial government of Britain. The resistance conducted in the 5 years of British colonization saw that there was hard reaction of the Palestinian on various politics carried out by Britain in the region. As stated in the Balfour Agreement 1917, Britain declared that Britain was as the main supporters of Jewish shelters in the Palestine, until it was found a state of Great Israel in Palestine. The next event was in 1944. For the first time, a long-range ground missile was used in World War II. The missile, which was named V-1, was shot by Nazi soldiers of Germany by targeting British region. Earlier, Germany bombarded British region by missiles which were shot from fighter planes. The operation had a risk for German soldiers and also spent a greater cost. Finally, German soldiers made efforts to produce land-to-land missiles. After the war was over, states in the world coverage and developed the missiles. And the last event was in 2000, the first meeting between President Kim Dae-jung from South Korea and leader Kim Jong-il from North Korea in Pyongyang. South Korean President Kim Dae-jung visited Pyongyang to participate in the Inter-Korean Summit, which never took place before, with the Korean leader Kim Jong-il. The two leaders adopted a mutual peace declaration after the meeting, which was conducted on June 13 until 15. Both countries agreed to promote and independent unification and humanitarian cooperation and economy. The meeting resulted in a press association series of families reunion, which were separated by Korean War 1950 until 1953, and launched a mutual industrial region at the border city of Kyoson in North Korea in 2004. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesia will re-export illegal plastic waste. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya stressed that Indonesia will re-export illegal plastic waste. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya in Jakarta on Monday, June 10, said that the illegal entry of plastic waste into Indonesia was actually not the first time it had happened. In 2015 and 2016, Indonesia also had re-export dozens of garbage containers. Indications of import of plastic waste are found in several regions in Indonesia, such as Gresik, East Java. The garbage, like plastic flakes mixed with paper, that cannot be recycled. The garbage is usually used for the process of making tofu. In addition, there are also types of bottles, sachets, food packaging, personal care, and household products. The entry of plastic waste into Indonesia was previously highlighted by ecological observations and wetlands conservation, or ecoton. Australian plastic waste, for example, was smuggled through the import of used paper. This used paper is imported in the context of industrial activities in Indonesia. Researcher of Indonesian Center for Environmental Law, Fajri Fadila, said that the government must investigate the act of importing plastic waste and revokes import approval for paper producer importers, which allows the import of illegal plastic waste. In 2018, the Central Bureau of Statistics (BBS) data showed an increased import of Indonesian plastic waste by 141%, or almost 283,000 tons. This figure is the highest peak of import of plastic waste over the past 10 years. However, the increase of import of plastic waste was not followed by export figures. Moreover, in 2018, the export figure decreased 48%, or around 98,000 tons. This figure indicates that there are around 185,000 tons of waste still in Indonesia, excluding the burden of domestic waste management in the country. Environmental activist from Bali Focus, Muhammad Adi Septiono, previously said that Indonesia needs to anticipate the impact of Chinese national sword policy, which strictly limits the import of plastic waste. The country previously absorbed 45.1% of the world's waste, but since March 2018, it has limited imports of garbage. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kita yang terdepan.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we introduce you Mie Koclok, a typical cuisine from Cirebon, West Java. Although it is not original Indonesian cuisine, noodle is a culinary which is very easy to be found in many cities in Indonesia. There are so many variants of foods with noodle as raw materials. Even every region has its own food variant. For example, if you go to Cirebon, West Java, you will find noodle food, namely Mie Koclok. Mie Koclok is abbreviation of Mie Khas Orang Cirebon Yang Lebih Oke, which means typical noodle of Cirebon is better. Created by Pak Edi, the owner of Mie Koclok food stall since 1945. Mie Koclok is made of wet noodle and water with thick chicken broth and a number of ingredients, completed with slices of leeks, cauliflower, sprouts, boiled egg, shredded chicken, and fried onion. The noodle which is used to make Mie Koclok is yellow noodle with quite big diameter. Unlike noodle food in other regions, the dressing of Mie Koclok is thick white color. The white color comes from mixture of coconut milk and cornstarch. When being eaten, Mie Koclok tastes savory and delicable. The taste of noodle is tender and chewy. The food is very delicious when eaten in warm. If you like spicy, you can add condiment. In Cirebon, there are many food stalls selling Mie Koclok. The food is affordable price, only 10,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau yang kini dilanda patah hati, jangan takut, aku ada di sini menemanimu. Menemanimu. Sudahlah, lupakan saja semua yang telah terjadi pada hari ini. Sudahlah, relakan saja, akan datang waktunya untuk yang baru. Yeah. semua yang telah terjadi pada hari ini. Sudahlah, relakan saja, akan datang waktunya untuk yang baru.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you PISIC Olympiad team achieve 5 international medals. Stay with us on www.vinews.id. Good news come from 6 Indonesian students who have succeeded in achieving gold, silver, and bronze medal in international, the 3rd European PISIC Olympiad in Riga, Republic of Latvia on Tuesday. The Indonesian PISIC Olympiad team consists of Evander Jonathan from Mawar Sharon Christian Senior High School Surabaya, who achieved gold medal, and silver medal was gained by Yuwanza Ramadan from State Senior High School 1 Depok, West Java, and Nixon Wijaya from Christian Senior High School of IPK Plus Tangerang, Banten, while bronze medal was achieved by Gusti Putu Surya Govinda from Senior High School of Kesatuan Bangsa, Yogyakarta, and Dava Fatani Adila from State Senior High School 8, Jakarta. The team was led by Samsu Rosid from University of Indonesia and accompanied by Bobby E. Gunara from Bandung Institute of Technology, Rinto Anugraha from Gajah Mada University, and Yunus Simangunsong from Ministry of Education and Culture.
International Third European Physics Olympiad conducted test step in two rounds. The first test was an experiment of physics which was conducted on Saturday, June 1st, and the second step was about the theory of physics on Sunday, or June 2nd. Each test was conducted for 4 hours, and both steps were conducted at campus of Latvia University. The material of experimental physics was only one page. The material test of the UPO, or the International Third European Physics Olympiad, for this year spread evenly. As usual, the questions of experimental physics only consist of 2 questions, with a total value of 20. Both questions were conducted by using 1 experimental tool. The topic of the experimental questions was about radio wave. The goals of experiments was to learn about the characteristic of radio wave when propagating in different medium, water and air. The theory questions consist of mechanic, electrodynamic, thermodynamic and hydrostatics. The questions were mixed so that they were combined into several topics of physics. This year, UPO event was participated in by 35 countries with number of delegation more than 250 persons. The participating countries from outside Europe come from Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam and Bangladesh, Brazil and Saudi Arabia with 165 participating students. After the participants followed the experimental physics and physics theory, they continued to correction step by the jury. On Tuesday, or June 4, the third UPO event was closed. That was our segment for today's miscellany. Thanks for listening.
Tanpa batas. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. It's nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today, I will present a song from the Indonesian legendary band, namely Kus Plus. Kus Plus is an Indonesian band which was formed in 1969. This group was formed as a continuation of the Kus Bersaudara group. The famous band in the 1970s is often regarded as the pioneer of pop and rock and roll music in Indonesia. Many songs from Kus Plus were rearranged by the country's musicians. One of them is Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu. The song contained in Kus Plus' second album titled Volume 2, which was released in 1970. The song was also sung by Marshanda in 2004. The song tells the story of someone who experiencing a tremendous heartbreak, so they hope the story is only a dream. Well, listener, here is the song Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu by Kus Plus. Enjoy the song.
Semua milik dan hidupku.
Oh, penyesalanku
Voice of Indonesia.
Ooh. berselimut debu sekujur tubuhku. Panas dan menyengat, rebah dan berkarat. Yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berganti, yang hancur lebur akan terobati, yang sia-sia akan jadi makna, yang terus berulang suatu saat henti, yang pernah jatuh kan berdiri lagi, yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berganti.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.